and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
I want us to focus on that for just a moment as our choir makes their way to their seats this morning. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Till your church is built. Jesus came on the scene and said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This morning, I want to look at some scriptures with us as we try to wrap up what we've been doing for the last couple of months in trying to refocus and put our emphasis back on evangelistic disciple-making. Not just evangelism and not disciple-making. Those go together. They are intertwined. You don't separate the two. For years, I think churches have tried to separate those two, and they go together. We're looking at becoming evangelistic disciple makers for the furtherance of the gospel. Because here's what we know as believers. The only way the church can be built, and by the way, let me tell you, I'm not talking about a building where people gather. We can build churches all over the place, can't we, Russ? Buildings. Russ is an architect. We can build buildings. And there are churches, buildings everywhere. The church may not even be there. I want you to think about that for a moment. Till the church is built, the called out believers of God who've come to faith, trusting in what Christ had done through his death, burial, and resurrection, till your church is built, till you've gathered from the ends of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west, those who will come by faith through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Till your church is built, neighbors and friends and family members, and even enemies who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built. How will that be accomplished? What is God's plan for that? I want us to look this morning at what I believe is the master plan or the master's plan for the gospel touching the lives of our friends and our neighbors, family members, co-workers, not just for today, but until the church is built, until Jesus comes. Last week, we looked at the second coming of Christ and its attachment to the gospel. This morning, I want to look at three scriptures. If you have your Bible, by the way, you can find these notes at the Welcome Center. I want you to begin by turning to Matthew chapter 28. These will not be unfamiliar verses to those who read their scriptures. If you've been in church long at all, you hear pastors talk about these verses and speak of these verses as being the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and verse 20, we read these verses, and I'm just going to look at three sections of scripture with us this morning and challenge us on doing our part, being a part of what Christ's plan is to build his church. It says in verse 18, I'm going back up to Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, those who had gathered, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and I am with you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. Verse 19, go, teach all nations, go, make disciples. I want us to look at the principle of making disciples. The principle on the heart of Jesus was one of making disciples, using evangelism to make disciples. It has been said that the greatest need of the modern church, especially in America, I know this to be true. One of the things that is happening in my world, in my life, as I visit other churches, I met again this week with another church leaders. The church is struggling, and And a few weeks ago, I was in Tennessee meeting with a church, and the church was struggling. And as I talked to pastors, they often ask, what can we do? What can we do? What should we be doing? And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to focus on the wrong needs in the life of the church. When the greatest need of the church in America today is to return to the kind of evangelism that Jesus taught, that Jesus mentions here, and that is people winning others to Christ and then building those they have won into disciples who will win and build others. In the book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, which is a great book by Robert Coleman, he mentions this very truth. The principle, the reality is that we as churches, if we're going to have the true church of God built, we have to follow the principle that Jesus gave. And that is, we follow it by making disciples of those who come to faith in Christ as we share the gospel, so that later we see that can be reproduced. If you have the notes with you this morning, I want you to focus on a paragraph that introduces us to this thought this morning. I want to just read this because all of us have heard certain parts of what Jesus is teaching in this principle of using the evangelistic gospel, the gospel of Christ, to reach people so that they see their need for salvation and turn by faith and belief in what Christ has done so that they can become a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to reproduce that by taking those who believe, discipling them so that they will go out and do the same thing that we have seen done in our lives. And the paragraph reads like this, and this was good for me as I was preparing this week to look at my own life. It says, we must all evaluate the contribution that our life, not somebody else's life, that our life and witness is making to the supreme purpose of Him who is the Savior of the world, that being Jesus Christ. Are those who have followed us to Christ now leading others to Him and teaching them to make disciples like ourselves? Note, and here is sort of the flux of what I wanted us to see in this paragraph. Note, it is not enough to rescue the perishing. We sang that old song, Rescue the Perishing. Though this is imperative, nor is it sufficient to build up newborn babes in the faith of Christ, although this too is necessary if the first fruits are to endure. In fact, it is not sufficient just to get them out winning souls, as commendable as this work may be. What really counts, if the church is going to be built, what really counts in the ultimate perpetuation of our work, that being the church being built, is the faithfulness with which our converts go out and make leaders out of their converts, not simply more followers. So this morning I have to ask myself, and I challenge you to ask yourself, am I employing the principle that Jesus taught in my evangelism tools of reaching people? Am I trying to make disciples who will go out and make disciples? If not, I hope you will understand what I'm about to say to you. You're wasting your time when it comes to building the church. I've been pastoring for a long time. I've been here for a long time. I'm getting to be an older man. Notice I said older. Not old. Getting to be an older man. And the older you get in ministry, the more you try to reevaluate what has really happened that is making a difference in building the church of Jesus Christ. And all the churches that I've served in, churches that I've worked with, we all seem to have the common goal, and we should, to employ this principle of evangelistic disciple-making. But if we look back, if Roy looks back over 30-plus years of ministry, if Monroe Missionary Baptist Church looks back over 80 years of ministry, we just celebrated 80 years as a church, if most of the churches in our community look back over the history of their church life, they, if they are honest with themselves, cannot give themselves a good grade when it comes to evangelistic disciple-making. And the reason is this, if we are honest with ourselves. Because we try, our goal is, we have a good goal, we've forgotten the main principle. The main principle is to win people who will be discipled, who will win people, who will disciple those people, who will win people, who will disciple those people, who will win people, who, do you get it or should I go on? It's a train that never ends. There are always cars being added to the train. It's a chain that never ends. There's always a new link being added to the chain. It's a road that never gets completed. There's always new construction on the road that's extending itself because we're called to win people to Christ, who will win people to Christ until Jesus comes and the church is built. But I'm afraid we've missed the mark. We think it's getting people just to be converted. It's people following. It's winning souls. And all of those are imperatives. Please do not misunderstand me. It's not one or some. It's the all. It's the all. So how does that work then, Pastor Roy? How do we employ this principle? We must look for a plan. What is the plan? I would challenge you to do this, though you'd be wasting your time if you did it. But if you go to any Christian bookstore, go to Lifeway Christian Bookstore, go online to any Christian bookstore, look up evangelism, evangelism principles, books on evangelism, you will get tired at looking at plans. There are multiple of plans. They're everywhere. Everybody has a plan for building the church. You can get a good book and read that book, and then tomorrow somebody's going to say, well, those plans don't work. Here's another book, and read this book, and everybody has their plans. I never have really understood that, because we have a master plan that's been given to us in the book called the Bible. The master plan. Jesus himself taught us how to make disciples who will then multiply that as you train them and teach them to be disciples so that they will win others who will be disciples. Jesus taught us that. So let's look at his plan, Matthew chapter 4. Just flip back a few pages to Matthew chapter 4. Just a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 4. Just a few. Verse 18. Now let's set the context for this. This is not something that you're hearing from a church growth specialist in modern world. This is not a principle that's coming from somebody who's filling a coliseum today with thousands and thousands of people who come to hear them speak. I can, listen folks, I could do that next week if I wanted to. It's not hard. People say, that must be hard. No, it's not. If I want to tell people what they want to hear, they'll all come. It's not about that. This is a plan that is coming straight from the lips of Jesus on how to do evangelistic disciple making. As Jesus began his earthly ministry, he didn't sit down and write a book because he was the book. He was the living word. He knew what it was going to take for the church to be built. And so Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry in Matthew 4. And notice what he says in verse 18. And Jesus, as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. They were just doing what they were called to do in their vocation, in their everyday life. They were doing what the people around you are doing. By the way, this ought to be multiplied every day in our lives. We ought to be seeing people who are doing what they're doing in everyday life, carrying on the vocation or the life that they have. That's what these two fishermen were doing. And Jesus comes. Notice verse 19. Jesus has a conversation with them, and he says to them, follow me, and I will make you. One other translation says, to become. Literally, he says, I will make you to become. You're not there yet. I will make you to become fishers of men. And then it says, they left their nets and followed Jesus. So here's the plan that Jesus made, that Jesus has. And the plan that Jesus gave us in Matthew 4 and all through the scriptures is this. It begins with following, but following is not enough. Following is just the beginning. Before Peter could ever and Andrew start the process, it began by following. And we all need to come to the place, by the way, where we follow Jesus. That takes faith. That takes trust. That takes genuine belief. we've got the whole Bible now to look at. They didn't have that. Here's a man who's come on the scene and he says, listen, if you want to be somebody, if you want to really live the plan that you need for your life, drop all of that mess, follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. So they step out by faith and they follow Christ. It's an example of us stepping out by faith, following Christ. Now, let me pause for a moment. Can your pastor just take a step back and forget about where I am for just a moment? Because there are some people here today and you're listening to this sermon, you're thinking, that really has very little to do with me right now because I'm not even a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, here's the good news. You can be. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to take that initial step, that initial act of faith, that trust in the gospel. Following, though, is just the beginning of the church being the church. If you're here and you have not yet come to faith in Christ and taken that initial step of faith that the Spirit of God is drawing you to take, you see, I know the Spirit of God is at work for me to even stop and pause to think about that. So the Spirit working in you to draw you to faith in Christ, then why not now? You say, right now? Well, yeah, right now. Right now you can reach out to God. You can call out to him. You say audibly if you want to. It won't bother me if you do, but you don't have to. It's with the heart man believes. It's with the mouth confession is made. Following is just the beginning. He called those fishermen. He said, follow me. But then he said, I will make you to become. Fishing takes training. It is an ongoing process. And here Jesus is talking about the fishing of souls, making disciples. It doesn't just happen. I've watched in churches as a pastor, and it's a scary thought. It's a scary thing. Somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and people want to turn everything over to them and give them every assignment to do and say, here, you do this. You just got saved. You can do this. Listen, no, they're not ready for much at that point. There has to be training. Fishing takes training. Now, I could have a lot of fun with this, and I guess I will for a little while. Why not? Have you ever been with anybody that said they knew how to fish and you took them fishing? I have. I've taken people out on my boat before that said they knew how to fish. And I tell you what, I wished I'd left them at home. They didn't know how to fish. All they did is kept the line tangled. I won't call any names, because some of you may be in here. They didn't know how to put bait on. They didn't know. And I love this part. Jack, you'll love this part. I love going fishing with, no, I really don't, because I'm thinking it's driving me nuts. They're sitting on the other side of the boat and you're perch fishing and the rod tip is doing all this and they're like, I'm like, dude, you got fish on your line. Well, I don't feel nothing. Listen, you don't just fish and catch fish. It takes training. Listen, think about the eternity of people. To be fishers of men, these men had to make a total commitment of their life, not just to follow, but then to become like Jesus. If you read the lives of these men, till Jesus died, guess what? And then after he died, they continued to follow his pattern, his plan. They committed to everything that he was, because here's the deal. The plan is this. Jesus says, in order for you to become fishers of men, you have to become like me. You have to know what to do. You have to have the same desire, the same passion, the same love, the same concern for souls. Do you not know that is why Jesus, as those men followed him, that small few followed him? They would see him sitting with sinners and wonder what he was doing. They would see him entertaining people. When I say entertaining, going into the lives and homes of people that they sometimes wondered, what is he doing? He was training them. Knowing that those that needed the gospel could be reached with the gospel and trained so that they could become just like Jesus, taking that gospel to the next generation. So the plan is a plan of becoming. And by the way, guess what? We never fully become. So if you think you're here and you think you've become, no. If you're following Jesus, you're still becoming. You're in a process of becoming more and more and more like him for the sake of the building up of the church, reaching more and more people who will be trained and discipled by you. Guess what? Listen, by you. There's the key. There's the key. People say, Pastor, this is so-and-so. I led them to faith in Jesus Christ. Train them. No. That's not my fish. I'll clean my fish. You clean yours. That's not my fish. That's your fish. That's yours. It's your responsibility. Those that I lead to faith in Christ become my responsibility to work with, to train, which leads me to my last point. The priority. I must make the plan of evangelistic disciple making, I must make that my priority if the church is to be built. My priority. And by the way, it's not something that you learn in a book. It's learned by following Jesus, by living the way that Jesus taught us to live and becoming who he's taught us to become in the scriptures. The priority has to be teaching these new converts to be disciple makers themselves. This has to be the priority. If the next generation is to have the hope of hearing and responding to the gospel. You already know this. I know this. We're not going to live forever. Some of you act like your plan is to live forever. I see you, and you see me sometimes acting like I'm not going to live forever. And some of you really think you're going to be able to keep yourself looking good forever. I'm not even going to go there. I've lost my hair. I have people say to me all the time, well, you know, I don't have a gray hair. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You just covered yours up. You just want to look good. We get so caught up. Listen, in this world, we are not going to live forever. Now, I want you to stop with me. I want to be very serious, folks. I like to joke and I like to have fun, and it's okay to laugh from the pulpit. I believe Jesus laughed a lot. He had a lot to laugh at. But I want you to stop for just a moment. I want you to focus with me for this for just a moment. If you are the only Christian in your family, and you may very well be this morning, you may very well be, what hope? I want you to be serious with me. What hope do the family members coming after you have of being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God, heirs to a heavenly kingdom, free from sin, the consequences of sin, the penalty of sin? What hope do they have? The only hope that they have is that you become a part of the plan of Christ by winning family members who will do the same thing. Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Paul had led a young man to faith in Jesus Christ by the name of Timothy. He referred to him as his son of the faith. He had led Timothy to faith. Paul knows something. Paul knows that he wants the church to be built. Paul has committed his life to people hearing and being discipled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knows that he's not going to be on the scene forever. As a matter of fact, by this time, Paul is very clear, very aware that his days are going to be numbered. So he's investing himself into Timothy. Timothy wasn't the only one, but Timothy was one of those that Paul invested himself in with the gospel. Paul's taught him about his life, how Christ changed his life. Oh, you read Timothy. What the gospel has meant to him. Paul now is saying, Timothy, I want you as one of those who've come to faith in my life, in my ministry. I want to invest myself in you. And here's the key, Timothy. You entrust this to others who will be able to do the same thing. If not, will the next generation hear the gospel? You say, well, I believe the Bible that everybody's going to hear the gospel before Lord Jesus Christ comes. I believe that too. And it's easy for us to use sometimes the scripture even as our own scapegoat, our own excuse. Who's going to teach your family and lead your family if not you? Dad, I sat here this morning, and I don't even mind. I'll probably start crying, and that is okay, because I really feel like I had so little to do with this, but I really think I had more to do with it than you think you have to do with it. I think about Amanda, wherever you are, I can't see you. She may not even be in here. She's probably not. She's in the back. I think about my immediate family. I think about the fact that Brian and Adam and Amanda and their families are doing the things with the gospel that they were taught to do with the gospel. And I'm thinking, Lord, that helps our grandchildren now. Rhonda and David to have the hope of hearing the gospel. There's not going to be a loss there if we do what Jesus taught us to do, starting with our families. People say, my family's lost. Why? Why? Have they not heard? Have they not seen? Have you not won one of them or two of them and invested yourself in them so that they can see the difference Christ makes for now and for eternity? The whole flux of the gospel of Jesus Christ is you, Roy, teach your family. Not just educational. No, no. I'm talking about seeing the grace of God change a life. As imperfect as we are, as imperfect as we will be in this flesh, believing by the gospel of Jesus Christ, our sins are atoned for. And when we die because of who Jesus is, we will spend eternity in a place that we don't even deserve. Because of the love of a God who sent his son to die for us. And to give yourself to that. To give yourself to that. You say, but I'm not a pastor. It has nothing to do with a pastor. Listen, don't you know preachers only work on Sundays? It has nothing to do with pastors. It has to do with dads. And moms, and brothers and sisters, and grandpas, and papas, aunts and uncles, neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend. Evangelistic disciple making. If the next generation has any hope of hearing and responding to the gospel, depends upon Roy. And it depends upon you. And I want you to hear this. It's not a program that you learn. It's a lifestyle that you live. It doesn't take place on Sunday. Sunday's for worship. It takes place as I allow myself to fall under the leadership. I tell you, the man that led me to faith in Christ discipled me. He invested himself in me as a young man. And he invested himself into my family, who now are investing themselves in others. It's a lifestyle where you lead folks to faith in Christ. Listen, as the Spirit of God, because you're wasting your time. We've been through this. As the Spirit of God is doing his work in drawing people, you happen to be there and you're able to lead them to that step of saying, I trust, I believe in the gospel. And then investing yourself. And Roy investing himself in the lives of those who will later do the same thing that we've done. Now, I'll say this in love. Deep love. Sometimes we need to get to the point where we think someone is a disciple and they're not, and they refuse to be discipled. Don't waste your time when there are people to be discipled. I believe Jesus taught that principle when he said, when you go into such and such a city. Anybody remember that? There comes a time when you say, God, this one's totally yours. But I will invest myself, Matt. I could go on, We were down to see Steve Pallars this week, Matt, myself, and Tim, and Lucas. And on the way back, they didn't know it. He sent me a text, and he was, actually, I said, I'm sitting here thinking about what just happened. And he said, did you know all of those young guys with you? Now, I didn't take that up with him yet, but I think he said I'm getting old. But did you know that all those young guys with you are the guys that we've invested ourselves in for many years? And I said, yep. And it doesn't look like there's much hope there, but I believe there is, Matt, even with you. Even with you. And I know there's not a whole lot of hope for Tim, even though you'll call him as your pastor, but even with him. And with Lucas, I say that in jest. The next generation will hear. There will be another link in the chain. There will be another car added to the train. There'll be another mile in the road that leads to eternity. When we, the church, give our lives to build the church the way Jesus taught to build the church. Follow me, Jesus said. He still is sending out that same call. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.